And it's the Sully Show, and unlike Sully, I hope his boss isn't listening, because this isn't Sully, but Sully's here in the studio with us running the board. We'll allow him to chime in probably a little later, because we're going to talk some guns, and we're going to talk some religion, and those are separate subjects in the state of Georgia, sometimes combined. Barbecue could also be a religion, so can college football, but today... We're going to do a little money changing in the temple. We're going to talk about guns. We're going to talk about religious freedom. And we got a few other topics up our sleeve. But first, we're going to start schools, and specifically Atlanta Public Schools. There's some breaking news today that we've kind of known was coming. But it appears that the Atlanta Public Schools and the mayor of Atlanta have come to terms on the Beltline. I saw that tweet from Christina Torres of the AJC breaking that story. Haven't had time to break down the details of it, but Maria Karstarfin, by evidence of her kind of deciding she was going to assert the Atlanta School Board's authority kind of equal to the mayor's and hold their feet to the fire, has shown herself to be a little tough and knows when to stand up for what she thinks is right. And there's some news out today, or at least I found it today. A friend of mine sent it over to me, where she sent a notice out, put it on their own website, to talk about some of the changes that Atlanta Public Schools are going to do. And they put out a request for qualifications, basically what's normally called an RFP, request for proposal, but this is an RFQ in this case, to actually have outsiders come in and look at the schools that are on the current list to be potentially taken over if a constitutional amendment passes in November, called the Opportunity School District, where the state would have the authority to come in and take over chronically failing schools. And Karstarfin has come in and said, you know what, we can do this ourselves, and we're going to fix it, and we're going to get these schools turned around. And so she's actively soliciting bids for outside companies to come in and say, if you think you can take the challenges we have with these students, and, you know, it's generally in the poorer sections of Atlanta. It's in the sections where you have high poverty, high single-parent household. There are a lot of things that go into education that money, that what you put into the classroom, does not take care of. And everyone in education, including the people that have proposed the Opportunity School District, know and accept that's a problem, that there are some groups that are harder to teach than others, and we do schools based on geography for the most part. And when you get closer to the centers of poverty, it is much, much harder to compete with the everyday life forces where, I guess to put it in hierarchy of needs, you know, most people are still trying to take care of level one of just food and shelter, and trying to get kids educated is hard. And Maria Karstarfin has said, you know what, we don't have to wait for the state to do this. We're going to do it ourselves. So I applaud her on that. And the thing about what we do here is often about politics, and this is somewhat political. And again, it's her way, you know, whether this is about saying we don't need the Opportunity School District or we're going to do it, I'll take her any motives out of it and just say this is a good thing. I'm happy to see someone saying we can fix these schools and the kids deserve better. We're going to bring Stefan Turkheimer in. He's our Democratic politics editor at GeorgiaPol.com. And Stefan, kind of tell me about what's the politics going on, not necessarily with this specifically, but with the Opportunity School District. It seems like this is something Republicans clearly are pushing. They're based on the charter school amendment that passed a couple of years ago. There are certain areas of traditionally Democratic constituencies that bucked leadership, because while a lot of Democratic leaders were not for that charter school district, it passed in some of the highest numbers in traditionally Democratic areas where these horrible schools often happen to be, unfortunately. And so there's a disconnect between Democratic voters and Democratic leaders, but there's also some traditional people that fund Democratic organizations that aren't real happy about some of these votes. So I'm hearing rumors of some primary challenges or other forces coming into play to try to continue to oppose the Opportunity School District when it's on the ballot in November to become a constitutional amendment?
That's correct. There's a number of vested Democratic interests, like, for instance, the Georgia Association of Educators, who are very upset about the results of the Opportunity School District vote, specifically that Democrats, who they feel that they've been stalwart supporters of, have not been supporters of them. And following that vote, there have been sort of calls for retribution. And one of the first ones that we've seen is that there's now been a primary challenger to a longstanding member of the Democrat caucus in the House. And that's Decatur's own Mary Margaret Oliver. She got a opponent this week, he announced. And it's a real interesting situation right now, because GAE is often threatened, or teachers have often threatened really say GAE, have often threatened to that this would be a ballot box initiative for them, and now we're going to see how well it does. The interesting thing about this is that Mary Margaret Oliver is very popular, you know, and she had some problems with the DeKalb School Board. She disagreed with them, and I think this vote had a lot to do with that. Regardless, now we've got essentially a referendum on OSD in a very Democratic, a very liberal area, and we're going to see how it does. And if GAE can't push Mary Margaret Oliver into, or if her opponent can't push Mary Margaret Oliver into a close race, it's going to be very bad news going forward for GAE's agenda, and it's going to make it very difficult to get national money to help fund their defense of the constitutional amendment.
Quick question, just to say the very local politics, because yeah. A Democratic primary at this point, a primary challenge is almost unheard of because they're so far into the wilderness of the minority party that it's almost like, what are you fighting over at some level? But if you're starting to build your bench back, and we talked about it last week, and that's what I want to ask about this, wasn't Mary Margaret Oliver also one of the lead sponsors of the gun confiscation bill that was presented?
She was the sponsor. She ran the press conference.
Yeah, she was now, the author of that bill.
Does that, given the district she represents, and she's been a longtime gun control advocate, does that give her any cover to try to shift the topic of this primary away from schools and more to a general, what I would call a classical liberal or now progressive, whatever word is supposed to be used these days, but a more national democratic agenda that would match her district?
Yeah, I think that's something she can use. I think in her district that bill would probably be looked upon favorably. But I also think
I'll repeat for our listeners that were not here this week, that bill has zero chance of passing. We'll get to the gun laws later. I don't get sidetracked on that. We'll come back to guns later.
I don't understand percentages, but I think zero is on the high side.
Yeah. Okay.
But the
being overly optimistic.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, she can certainly use that offensively in that race, but I think she's willing to defend her position on OSD.
Okay.
I think she can actually defend her position on OSD in the district and come out ahead.
And you used an acronym that we use all the time, but GAE is Georgia Association of Educators, and it is an association. It's not a union because Georgia doesn't have teachers' unions, but GAE is the one of the teachers' associations that is most closely aligned with the national, NEA? National Educators Association.
Right. Yeah, there's a number of teachers groups.
Which is
there.
Kind of the National Teachers Union Group is what you would normally call it, but
I think that's correct.
Here in the state.
And they've got legitimate qualms with OSD, and they're going to make those arguments. You know, there's a sort of parade of horribles that they trot out on these things. And the first one is, you know, sort of the state takeover, getting rid of local school boards authority and all of that. And then it's, you know, privatization of schools, and then it's state money going to private entities, and then it's, you know, children with special needs being left behind, et cetera, et cetera.
So they're always good about playing the victim card, but I never hear them say what they're actually going to do to fix the schools. Other than we need more money.
Oh, no, that's exactly the problem. The problem is that all their rhetoric is about no and very little of it is about yes. Yeah. But, you know, that's part of the problem with their argument. They've got a longer argument, and it's a lot easier for the other side to say, look, these schools are failing our children. Let's help them.
Two fun facts for our listeners that have known me for a while and or have been readers. Number one, I primaried someone when the Republicans were in a minority, so I actually can see that this can be done. And it was the year 2000. It was a couple years before Republicans took control of the Georgia Senate. And the other fun fact is during that primary, I was actually endorsed by the GAE. And that's a whole long story of how that happened. Mm-hmm. But they haven't always been left of center in this state. There was a time where teachers had rallied against Roy Barnes, and they made a real play to get back to the center of the middle and wanted people that would actually work on education issues. And unfortunately, while I've worked with GAE on some issues recently, defending Georgia performance standards most notably, there are times where they have been constructive. When you get into things like this where it's actually about fixing the bad schools, unfortunately, they take the standard party line instead of actually trying to do some real reflective self-assessment of what's going on there.
A lot of political historians trace the Republican takeover in Georgia, not to GAE backing away from Roy Barnes, but to Charlie Harper's attempts to unseat a Republican. That's really the germ of the Republican
takeover.
That's
really what the end of the day it's all about.